What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It is the summer series of Laying the Points where we talk about our NFL preparation, little WNBA, little UFC, little tennis. We'll talk a little WNBA today as the season hits its midpoint. Talk about our record a little bit too, because we're killing it. My name is Chris R. Farley at Farley Betts on Instagram and Twitter. No longer on TikTok. TikTok. I couldn't stand producing videos on TikTok. Just seems so superficial and cheap and bullshit. So happy to be off of that. And if you like cursing, then here we are. Hey, listen, this is a sports betting podcast. So if you're gambling your money, probably have a family, right? Gambling money. Hopefully you don't care about a few swear words every now and then. But pardon me, United States military veteran, we curse a lot. Pro sports better now, though. Over 1,500 picks in 3 years of NBA betting, 54%, 126 units won. 500 picks in 3 years of NFL betting, 55.5%, 91 units won. One fifth place in Circa in 2021. And we give out our free picks on your favorite sports in the show. And we also go over sports betting strategy and philosophy to help you win your bets in the long term, because that's what it's about. It's not about hitting a 15-leg parlay, which you hear and see all the time being broadcasted, because that's what sportsbooks want you to think is possible. It's not very possible, not very often anyway. It's about approaching this with the judiciousness and strategy that you need to win in the long term. And we've learned from some of the best over a decade of handicapping from yours truly. And let's update you on some of our records. We are killing the WNBA right now, 38-24-1, 60% against the spread, plus 21.4 units. The UFC, check out this record, 30-69. What? Chris, you suck. No. Plus 7 units, because it ain't about the record. It's about ROI. It's about value in a sport like UFC. Tennis, same thing, 47-57, but plus 4.9 units. Had a great day at Wimbledon at the top of the charts at sportscapping.com this month in tennis. Doing well, guys and gals, doing well. Check me out at farleybets.com as well for free picks, this podcast, and a lot of content and sports betting information over there, including how you can get a handle of my premium packages. We're getting ready for the NFL season. I'm giving 40% off on my NFL season package right now. Shoot me a DM at farleybets on Twitter or on Instagram, or contact me directly at farleybets@gmail.com, and we can put you on our listserv so you can have all of our ATS picks in the NFL all season. And we know we're going to have a great year. And you ask yourself, Chris, how do you know that? How do you know you're going to have a great year, Chris? You don't know what the lines are going to be beyond week 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, you do right now, right? DraftKings, et cetera. Because I know that my approach is going to be better this year. My preparation is better. My environment that I'm creating around me is going to be better for me to win more. I was overloaded last NFL season. I can't wait for this NFL season. Speaking of the NFL, we've got a full NFC preview on this show. Going to go over the top dogs, teams to watch out for, and the outcasts of the NFC, according to yours truly. A very quick WNBA midseason review, as we have 2 months of the regular season left, but we're winning a lot. Figured I'd share my thoughts on that. We will continue with part two of our book club review, the complete book of sports betting, next week, as well as our major announcement about what our new NFL podcast is going to look like coming next week as well. This podcast, Laying the Points, is brought to you by Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/Farley and get a free $20. That's a free $20 bill to play with right now. Better Edge allows you to bet against your peers. There's no VIG. So a lot of books you see, right? You pay minus 110, minus 115. Not a Better Edge. A Better Edge, you're probably going to pay minus 101 or even money to bet against each other. You can create your own markets. You can bet against other markets. You can read articles, podcasts, insights from sports betting experts, as well as take part in contests and competitions. Check out betteredge.com, gaining a lot of steam in the sports betting marketplace, and go to betteredge.com/Farley. To get that free $20. All right, let's get to my NFC preview. And first of all, I just want to start off with a little preface and say this. First of all, there's a lot of guys, a lot of gals, a lot of content providers that are filling you with a lot of theoretical information right now. Or it's statistical information from last season, from what they saw, right? They're trying to create edges, as they should, as am I. There's a lot of good work, no doubt. But I'm just here to tell you that I try not to overpostulate, right? I don't want to get ahead of myself. A lot of things can happen in the preseason. A lot of things can happen weeks 1 through 4 as these teams kind of figure out who they are more. Teams not like the Chiefs or the Eagles or the 49ers or even the Cowboys, you know, who know who they are. Teams who don't know who they are. Teams who might surprise us, teams who might disappoint us. There's a lot we don't know, but there's a lot that we can gather from things we saw last year, obviously from the offseason. So I'm going to go over my power ratings in the NFC, but I'm not going to have any crazy hot takes. I'm not going to promise you anything. I'm just going to tell you what I like right now, because the NFL is a week-to-week season. We can't get too ahead of ourselves. We can't think that we have a major edge in the market before the season begins. And you hear a lot of that fodder and the content that's being created right now. That's not how I do business. And it's worked out pretty well for me. Number one in the NFC, as much as I hate to say it, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their depth is second to none, especially compared to other teams in their conferences, obviously. And now they have the experience, right? They've been to the Super Bowl. They've been to the big dance. They know what it takes. They know what they need. Still got Nick Sirianni, but there's a lot of attrition. A lot of attrition in that coaching staff. Easy for me to say. Offensive coordinator gone. Defensive coordinator gone. We'll see what the new guys can do. But this is a team with a wealth of talent. The on-field leadership and moxie of Jalen Hurts is second to none. I think he might be, like, next to Patrick Mahomes, might be the best leader that we have in the NFL. He certainly proved that in the Super Bowl, played really well. They got a front office that's one of the best in the business. I mean, look at the depth they have at nearly every position. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention the attrition of that coaching staff that could cause more responsibility, right? More pressure on the Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni's of the world. And particularly in Nick Sirianni's case, I'm not sure if he's that well-equipped. I mean, the guy's an emotional basket case. So if there's more on his shoulders, I don't know if I love that for Philly. And of course, the loss of key players on defense, a defense that could not stop the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and was the reason why they lost. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Javon Hargrave, T.J. Edwards, Kazir White. And then, of course, they lost running back Miles Sanders to Carolina. Much tougher schedule this year and a very real target on their back. I lean to their win total going under, but I ain't going to take it because this is still a very good team. Just watch out for the next two teams that I'm going to talk about because they have vengeance on their mind against the Eagles, as the Eagles have a very real, very big bullseye on their backs. The 49ers, another one of the most elite rosters in football, my second power-rated team in the NFC, dynamically built on both offense and defense and special teams. They have one of the most creative coaches in the game and a quarterback that showed a lot of poise and precision. Let's face it, in 8 games as a starter, Brock Purdy, and he even won 2 playoff games. And we saw what happened to the 49ers when he was not in their lineup. Of course, they didn't really have a second quarterback, so that sucked. But they probably can't wait to get revenge on the Eagles. This is an elite roster. This is a seasoned head coach who's built a culture of winning, dynamic playmakers on both sides of the ball. But again, attrition. Right? They've lost some guys again. They lost defensive coordinator. They lost offensive coordinator. I love Steve Wilks, though. He did a great job at Carolina last year taking over. I think he's probably the biggest reason why they fought so hard. So I love him as their defensive coordinator. And I'm not real worried about their offense. Brian Flurry was like a tight end coach. We'll see how he does as offensive coordinator. But they got Kyle Shanahan. I'm not that worried. They also have a relatively easy schedule compared to Dallas and Philly. That much is in their favor. The number 3 power rated team in the NFC for me, the Dallas Cowboys. as hard as that is to admit. I'm excited for Tony Pollard being the guy in Dallas. I love that they added Stephon Gilmore. He's 32 years old, but still a savage. I think he's going to play even better on a team that has real Super Bowl chances. Brandon Cooks, another deep threat for Dak. And yeah, Zeke is gone, but they got, I don't think they need Zeke, right? Most analysts will tell you that he was very average compared to what we saw from Tony Pollard the past two seasons. I think Brian Schottenheimer will likely be solid as their new offensive coordinator. Will they miss Kellen Moore? I don't think so. He wasn't very creative. He thought he was more creative than he was, in my opinion. But Mike McCarthy is going to be calling plays. We'll see how that goes. Big question mark there. Always a question mark when you got big boy Mike McCarthy having an extra role with the team. But this is a guy that won a Super Bowl. The team likes him. He's a player's coach. Dan Quinn and that defense will be ready to go. I was very impressed by their defense in that loss to the 49ers in the divisional round last year of the playoffs. That was a lot of Dak Prescott again, letting down again, two interceptions again in the divisional round of the playoffs. But the Cowboys, to me, they feel quieter and more positioned for success this year. There's less turnover on the Cowboys than you see in a lot of these other teams, especially compared to the attrition of Philly and San Francisco and their coaching staffs. I think the Cowboys, who are quietly entering this season, finally, it feels like anyway, might have their best chance with this regime that's been there for a long time, right? An older offensive line, but still very solid. They got talent on both sides of the ball. Their defense is absolutely stacked. Watch out for Dallas to beat Philly probably once in the regular season and be a real threat if they can get deeper into the playoffs. And now from Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas is my biggest dip in power ratings, because although I respect and I'm looking forward to seeing what Seattle and Minnesota do this year, I don't think they compare to those three teams. But if you compare these two rosters, Seattle and Minnesota, very similar, right? QBs that are very good on paper, right? Geno Smith, best accuracy in the NFL last season. Kirk Cousins made some, he made some absolutely savage throws last year, pinpoint accuracy in tough situations. You know, it's kind of the Kirk Cousins effect, like meter, right? Like he's kind of like the above average QB that's kind of towing the line always and could really flop sometimes and hasn't made it to the big dance. But I like the Vikings, especially this year, because of what they did on defense. Brian Flores, defensive coordinator. I said for a long time that Minnesota's defense is so shady and so suspect, but they are talented. To me, that's coaching, right? They need more substance. They need a culture. They need more discipline. They need consistency. Brian Flores on a revenge tour after being kicked out of Miami, being ancillary on the Steelers as an assistant coach, now gets another shot at defensive coordinator, probably where he should be. I expect better things from this defense, who has reloaded in a lot of ways. Daniil Hunter is still there, and they got better in their secondary. Watch out for Minnesota, and watch out for all this fodder and talk about the Bears and especially the Lions. Minnesota probably wins this division, and at plus 250, that's damn good value if you ask me. I'm not going to ride that Lions train just yet. And as far as Seattle goes, Pete Carroll proves it every year. Players want to play for him. One of the most energetic coaches in the NFL, despite his age. They still got guys on offense. And they have young, developing players on defense. Jamal Adams should be back. They hope that Tariq Woolen takes a step up, right? They need these guys to develop and be more consistent. So big question mark for Seattle defensively. But they can hold their own offensively. We'll just see how Geno Smith in Seattle does now that they're going to be more of a favorite, right? Teams know who they are more. Seattle was the first half of the season ATS darling last season until they started to kind of fall off, right? Because teams figured them out. They saw film. They weren't as consistent. Now they're starting as 5-point favorites. Last year, they were underdogs against the Broncos and beat them outright. this year, they're favorites at home against 2 years ago Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams are +5 or +5.5. I'm probably taking the Rams in that game. That's a little too much for me, and we'll talk more about the Rams later. Other teams to watch out for. This is the next tier, if you will, right? Because those are the fringe elite and elite teams in the NFC, those five. But now let's talk about teams that I think could really surprise a lot of people. Starting at the top, the New Orleans Saints. Their schedule is so easy that if you look at Warren Sharp's strength of schedule, which he puts out every year, they're barely visible in the graphic because they're so far up in the easy column that, you talk about a competitive advantage. A lot of dome games, not a hard travel schedule, a lot of potential losing teams or what we estimate to be losing teams. Of course, they play in the NFC South. And I think Derek Carr belongs in New Orleans. He's a good old Christian boy. He's pissed off about the Raiders and what happened and how they let go of him and how they didn't care about him at the end, didn't let him play. This team has a growing defense, developing players who we saw started to surge last year more. As long as Dennis Allen doesn't get in the way of this team, as long as he lets the offense do their thing, let Derek Carr lead the offense. Their offensive coordinator has been there forever. I forget his name. Let him lead. He knows what he's doing. Get out of the way, Dennis Allen. Make sure that defense keeps improving. But arguably the easiest schedule in the NFL, I don't even think it's that arguable, actually. They are positioned to win the NFC South. They are positioned to make the playoffs. And if this team grows together as the season goes on, I think they could be very dangerous. Really smart signing Jamal Williams to go behind Alvin Kamara, too, because looks like Kamara might have a few games suspended at the start of the year based off that allegations last season. And how about those Green Bay Packers? I said I'm not going to get too high on the Detroit Lions train just yet because Green Bay Packers, easier schedule this year, still loaded on defense after a disappointing defensive year, a lot to prove, and now the franchise can take a deep breath. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Thank God. Now this is Matt LaFleur's team. Now the team can be like, hey, this wasn't just Aaron Rodgers' team. We're a good team. I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder, especially how they lost that last game last year where they could have made the playoffs to the Lions. They still have arguably a top three running back duo. Fringe top 10 running game last year, which, you know, a lot of that is Aaron Rodgers, right? He plays as sharp as he is with his precision. He's predictable with what he does with the football. Very conservative, allows defenses to play up, right? Provokes man-to-man from defenses. I think they could be more creative with their play calling. I like their number one draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, edge out of Iowa. He should be real good, more depth in their secondary. You mostly you should look at unders when it comes to futures, but I took their over 7.5, I think, is a steal. The Packers are going to win half their games. Schedule's not that hard. Division's not that hard. Still a lot of teams figuring their shit out. And as long as Jordan Love, who I haven't even mentioned yet, as long as Jordan Love is average, and I think there's evidence that he's going to be better than average, this could be a slightly above average team, which tells me that they're going to win more than half their games. And I think they're going to be an ATS darling often this season against teams who the market likes, the market wants to support, but they're largely unproven yet. Teams like the Lions, teams like the Seahawks or the Vikings. Talk about a team that could be underrated. I mentioned the Rams +5 and their opener against the Seahawks. The Rams, it's going to be all about the Rams and how motivated their leaders are. Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, all talking about retirement, but all deciding to come back this year. Matthew Stafford, in my opinion, better quarterback than Dak Prescott. He's top two quarterback in the NFC. Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive players of all time. Sean McVay, Super Bowl winning coach. And a lot to prove this year. We saw when Baker came in at the end of last year, still a comparable roster in a lot of ways, right? Competitive roster to a lot of teams. Could be an ATS darling. And the New York Football Giants, my Giants, I think are going to be an ATS darling again because they're getting underrated. And that coaching, the unity of the team, what Brian Daboll is doing over there is exceptional. And I think we're going to see that again this year. Daniel Jones did not like that contract. Don't think he's the guy. But Brian Daboll is going to develop a plan to extract all of his strengths. He already did it last year. We saw vast improvements in Daniel Jones. Turnovers, which, you know, some of that was luck. I think he probably could have had, I think Pro Football Focus said, could have had like 12 more turnovers, just got lucky on quite a few of them. But the point is, you tend to get lucky when you improve and when things are more set up for your success. And this is a team that's shallow at wide receiver, shallow in their secondary still, but I like their defensive line a lot. Hopefully they can keep Saquon. And this team is really well coached. I love what they're doing in the front office for the New York Giants. And we see that with the Eagles. We see that with a lot of teams. It's going to lead eventually to really competitive teams and maybe a winning team in the long run. All right, now let's talk about two controversial teams, teams that everybody likes in the NFC and wants to talk about, the Detroit Lions and Atlanta Falcons. When you talk about upgrading your defense, which both these teams desperately needed, you can't get any better than what the Falcons and Lions did in the offseason. Lions vastly improved their secondary. Cameron Sutton, cornerback. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, safety. Emmanuel Mosley, cornerback. Linebacker Alex Anzalone. Isaiah Bugs. This team got better. This team got better defensively. We saw flashes of brilliance from Aiden Hutchinson. And we saw their offense consistently put up big points, right? Now, Jared Goff is still going to do Jared Goff stuff. Like, if it's a tough spot on the road, outside, probably going to flop a little bit, right? Like, we see that from Goff. He's not always consistent. But there's a lot of upside on this offense, a lot of talent. Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama should be a workhorse for them. I love how they upgraded their defense. But let's see, right? A culture, a historic culture of losing is really tough to turn around. It's tough because you got to change the perceptions entirely of the locker room, the offense, the defense, the front office, the fans. You know, it just has to be a whole new brand, and they're getting there for sure. But they might still be a year away from really making that leap, like into the playoffs, beating teams in the playoffs, beating good teams in the regular season. I think it's going to be a little up and down, even better this year, probably a playoff team. But I'm not like saving extra bankroll allowance to bet on the Lions this year necessarily. Because if anything, they could be overvalued. The market could overcorrect. And we're kind of seeing that already, right? They're the favorites in the division. I think Minnesota is going to win it. I think Green Bay is going to be very competitive. Forget about Chicago still. Sorry, Chicago. I'll talk about them in a second. But there's still a lot of TBD. A lot of new moving parts in a defense is tough, too, to actually make it work. A lot of that is going to depend on defensive coaching and how competent they are. But again, if we're talking about improvements on defense, a team that could really take off this year, the Atlanta Falcons, Calais Campbell, still got Grady Jarrett, Bud Dupree, A.J. Terrell, Jeff Okuda. This defense has gotten way better, and they have a ton of talent on offense too. I mean, Bijan Robinson could absolutely explode this year. Some of that depends on that offensive line and how consistent they are, but they were pretty damn good last year. They had a great running game. Drake London is a ball hawk, over 30% target share for the Falcons last year, and it's the first year, for Christ's sake. Impressive. Matt Collins, workhorse. Scotty Miller, workhorse. Kyle Pitts, still extremely hyper-athletic, extremely talented. Got to watch out for the Falcons. I think the Falcons and Saints probably split in the regular season, and they're the biggest threat. They're the biggest threat for the Saints, no doubt about it. But again, Desmond Ridder, right? It's on Desmond Ridder to really make it happen now. The pressure is kind of going to be on him. as a second year player, you got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Heavy responsibility for a second year player. From what I saw from him, again, these quarterbacks are coming in as underdogs, right? Not a lot of expectations. He looked good. Eyes downfield, poise, good movement in the pocket. Now, you know, 50% completion rate in his first game. I forget who that was against. I think against the Saints. Kind of did okay against Tampa Bay, barely 50%. Did well against Baltimore. Did well against Arizona, as he should. I'm not exactly running to the window to bet on the Falcons right now, but I see the potential, and I see some good shit in Desmond Ridder. Now let's talk about the outcasts. Washington, sorry, can't take you seriously yet. Sam Howell, huh? We'll see. Team seems to like him. Listen, Washington is a talented team, offense and defense. Maybe the best defensive line in the NFL talent-wise, especially if Chase Young can get back to who we think he is. But when you have Sam Howell at quarterback, when you have Ron Rivera as your coach who doesn't look that interested half the time, not sure like the grasp that he has in his team, I don't know. I don't trust Washington just yet. Something, you know, that's a cyclical, historic organization, like organizational mess. And, you know, Snyder's gone. It's going to be better times for sure for Washington. They're going to have more fans at their games, I'm sure, even solely because Snyder's gone. But I'm not ready to bet on them or anticipate great things from them this year. Arizona, one of the most shallow rosters in the NFL. I don't think Kyler Murray just has the mentals to succeed in football from what I've seen. Very, very selfish player. Not exactly a team guy. Not that coachable from what we see in here. Carolina, Bryce Young is the question, right? And I think he's going to be a pro. I think he's going to be good. But without Wilkes, who I think was a big part of their success late last season, upsetting good teams, the defense, a big part of that, right? They have a pretty talented defense, but now Wilkes is gone. We'll see what Frank Reich can do. Solid coach. People like him in the NFL, but not a ton of success after the Eagles, right? Crash and burn with the Colts. And not a lot of talent offensively on this team. You know, they got Adam Thielen, who didn't look good for Minnesota last year. DJ Chark, okay. You got Miles Sanders, we'll see. A lot of miles on Miles Sanders over the years there in Philly. Tampa Bay, led by Baker Mayfield. You know how I feel about Baker Mayfield at this point. Or if you don't, I've been saying for 2 years that he's not an NFL quarterback. I think he's proven that at this point. I mean, he's not a starter, okay? I'll be nice. He's not a starter. I think we're going to see that with Tampa Bay. A lot of old Wiley vets on Tampa Bay that are really talented, but that are probably looking for a reason to go somewhere else or get a fresh start. And I think when they start losing games, the organization is going to start to crumble, kind of like we saw last year. Chicago, Justin Fields, one of the most exciting players in the NFL, has a lot of work to do in the passing game. Their defense definitely is improving and has improved in the offseason, but I don't like his offensive talent that surrounds him either. They did some work in their offensive line. I hope that works for Chicagoans, but I don't trust them. That's for damn sure. Those are the outcasts, those five teams. I don't expect them to get near the playoffs. Okay, quickly, let's do a WNBA midseason review because we've been winning a lot. And this is how I've been approaching the WNBA. First of all, if you don't know, the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty are by far the best teams. I mean, you can look at their records and you can see that. You can look at their point differential and see that. But they're loaded with talent. Liberty, a lot of the talent is new this year. So you kind of see them stumble sometimes. Vegas barely ever stumbles. But the market does overcorrect on them a little bit, right? Teams like Washington, Connecticut, they can compete. They can compete against Vegas and New York. Look for opportunities for when they're a little overvalued, the Aces and Liberty. The Dream are undervalued sometimes because their offense can be so potent, not from a field goal percentage perspective, but they are aggressive. They get to the rim. They shoot free throws. They know how to put up points. Connecticut, a really well-balanced team. Often undervalued in the marketplace as well. Washington, too. Washington and Connecticut, full of veterans, tough team, good coaching, well-balanced. Futures on them to dethrone Vegas or New York make sense for the value that's there, right? Because this is still pro sports, and these teams are going to see each other throughout the season. And the Liberty could overlook a team like Connecticut or Washington. Eastern Conference is way better than the West. The Dallas Wings seem good sometimes, don't seem that good other times. I don't really bet on them much. But teams like Phoenix, Chicago, Minnesota, Indiana, LA, and Seattle, the best I can say with them is look for spots where they're getting so extremely undervalued and they might be in a good spot against a team like Connecticut or Vegas or Washington. You know, maybe you take advantage in that sense, right? But the point to bet in the WNBA in general is that this is a immature market with not a lot of bettors in there betting on it. So if you get to the window or to your phone at 8 or 9 o'clock every night and you have a good handle on the real capability of these teams, like, for example, the Connecticut Sun shouldn't be like 8 or 9 point underdogs to a team like the New York Liberty, in my opinion. It's too much. And we've seen that already, right? You can get great lines early if you look at it 8 or 9 o'clock at night, because they usually don't move in a sharper direction until right before tip-off, from what I've noticed. It's a very exposable market. So without getting into too much nuance and detail in the weeds, look for opportunities where Vegas and New York are a little bit overvalued, or look for them when they're coming off a loss to absolutely stomp a team. Because that happens for sure. We saw that recently from the Aces. And as far as Washington and Connecticut go, look for where they're undervalued. They're very solid teams. Look for when Atlanta's offense is undervalued, because they can get points up very constantly. That sounds dumb. Very often. And the rest of the teams, you know, you look for spots like Indiana. They're improving. They're feisty. They have a great coach. But hard to bet on them all the time. Seattle, a lot of people think they like really, really, really stink. I think they're slightly below average. You could take advantage of their line sometimes. Same with Minnesota. But you can't trust Phoenix, Chicago, LA. I put a futures on LA. I thought they were going to be pretty good. Don't trust LA for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes Laying the Points at Farley Bets. Follow me at Farley Bets. Go to FarleyBets.com for a lot of free picks and free content over there, as well as this podcast. Go to Better Edge, betteredge.com/Farley for a free $20. We'll be back next week with a full AFC preview for the upcoming NFL season. Until next time, Farley Bets signing out. Let's win some damn money. Let's fucking go. Bye.